Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today I have a very, very special guest, Patty Diane Cota Robles. Welcome, Patty.
Well, thank you, Iris. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. I don't even know what to say about you. You're a visionary. You're a cosmic reporter from the Ascended Masters realm. You're a world-class motivational speaker. You give free seminars around the world. You do your own radio show on Seventh Wave. What is it called? Seventh Wave?
Yes, SeventhWaveNetwork.com, and that's on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock Pacific time.
Oh, it's Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock Pacific time, or is it?
Yes, Pacific time.
Pacific time, Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock on SeventhWaveRadio.com.
That's right.
Patty, I wanted to ask you to speak with people about prosperity, and you're a very good example of prosperity, and you're a very good teacher of prosperity, and then not wanting you to interfere at all with what you'd like to say or what's up or what you feel is coming through you, I want you to speak on that too.
Okay. As far as prosperity goes, this is a really important time for people, and people are going through a lot of difficult challenges sometimes. The economy seems up and down and a little uncertain, so I think people sometimes move into that position of observing outer world circumstances and then buying into that thought form or that belief system, and then as a result of that, because we're really co-creating our own realities as a result of our fear and our concerns, we can actually then block prosperity and manifest lack and limitation in our lives. So it's an important time for us to really realize that thoughts are things, and there's universal laws that are affecting all of us. One of the things, the law of attraction, is something that's come to the fore because of The Secret. And so a lot of people are beginning to realize that we can draw to ourselves what we want in our lives. But the whole process of that law, it's actually the law of the circle. And what that means is that what we are sending out through our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings goes out from us on electromagnetic currents of energy, very much like radio waves or television waves, and it goes out to the place wherever we've directed it with our thoughts, and then it returns to us carrying a like vibration. So if we're caught up in poverty consciousness or thinking about lack and limitation or our fears, we keep perpetuating that energy and that magnetization into our life experience. So if we want to experience prosperity, we need to develop prosperity consciousness. And mostly, it's moving out of the fear of lack and limitation. So that whatever money we do have, if we energize that and empower it with our thoughts and feelings, charging the money with our love, and as we spend the money on to pay our bills and things like that, for us to consciously, instead of every time we spend money saying, oh no, now I don't have enough, now I'm not going to be able to pay this other bill or whatever, we need to say, you know, I'm blessing this money, I'm grateful that I have this money, and I'm accepting that through the universal laws, I'm going to send it out, and it's going to go out and expand and return to me.
Well, I think that's a very important thing, too, to bless what we have and ask it to bless everyone it touches.
Right, absolutely.
But also, I think it's real, 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 real important right now to choose our own consciousness.
Yes.
And not buy into the appearances. I think I spent more on Christmas than I ever have before this year. and I really enjoyed it, and I... But when it came time to wrap, I was like, oh, my God, this is so many presents. I didn't ever understand, you know, when there was a dip in the economy after 9/11, because why would that make people afraid to spend money? I tell you, if it was the last week on Earth, I'd order flowers for everybody I knew. You know?
Right.
I just don't understand that. What will help people have a consciousness of abundance?
Well, one of the things that is real is that money is just a source of energy, period. It's not this awesome entity that comes into our lives to control us and manipulate us and create all of this havoc in our lives. We've given money that power because we need it to survive. We've created monetary systems, and we've created a system where we need to have money in order to purchase food rather than just growing it ourselves or for transportation or for a roof over our heads or whatever. So when we think there's not going to be enough, you know, and I think the fear after 9/11, of course, came because of families and how am I going to feed my children and how am I going to, you know, maintain a house so that they can have a safe place to live and all of those kinds of things. So it just, that whole fear just kind of snowballs. And, you know, the part of the prosperity, a very important part of the prosperity, is that what we are sending out expands and returns to us. So the world religions have always, in some way or another, tried to encourage us to tithe. But because so often the churches are very, and the religious facilities are very dependent on the tithing, so they really encourage us to continually give money to them. And so it feels like just another bill we have to pay. So people have gotten turned off a little bit on the tithing, and we observe that many times the money isn't used the way we thought it was going to be used, and it's used for extravagance rather than for genuinely helping people and adding to the light of the world. So people have gotten a little bit disillusioned, and through the fear and blocking their own money, they also don't feel like they have enough money to share or to give in out and to expand to return to them. But one of the things that is important to realize is that when we came into this physical plane, there's always a balance for everything in the universe. And we have a covenant that we have made with our Father, Mother, God. And that covenant was that God would provide our life force, the energy that we need to exist in the physical plane, and work with the elemental kingdom to provide everything that we would need to sustain our physical bodies. And in the beginning, we had all the water we needed, we had air to breathe, we had food and things that we needed to consume to sustain our physical bodies, and things for clothing and shelter. We had the sunshine, and we had our life force, the electronic light substance that beats our heart and activates our brain. And this was God's gift for us. Now, our covenant back to God was that we would utilize this gift, that in return for the gifts that were given to us, we would use our life force to add to the light of the world and to learn to become co-creators. That's really our purpose and our reason for being. And we, after the fall, we forgot about that. We didn't understand that the supply of the universe is infinite and God's abundance is infinite. And instead, we started becoming afraid and
grasping.
Yes. Blocking it, you know, blocking that. So what we have to do to, again, open up is we have to start sharing. We have to start giving our money out. Now, the key is the intent with which we do our sharing of our wealth. And I know that a lot of people, whenever I teach classes about prosperity, whenever you start talking about tithing, the energy in the room shifts and people are thinking, my gosh, I don't have enough money to pay my bills now, and now she's telling me to give money away. But the reality is, we don't have a choice. We have already consumed the gift from God. We've used our life force. We've eaten the food, breathed the air, drank the water, and experienced the sunlight and all of the things that we need to survive in this physical plane. So now we need to get something back in the way of adding to the light of the world. And the truth is, we can give many things back. We can give our love back. We can give service back. We can do lots of things that add to the light of the world. But like attracts like, and we have created a monetary system. So if we want to increase the money in our lives, we need to give back money. And we can do that by giving to whatever it is that makes our heart sing, that is adding to the light of the world. Tithing, the key to really correct tithing, so because it's our consciousness and our attitude that determines whether it's successful or not, is that we need to take whatever amount of money it is that we want to begin sharing with to add to the light of the world and say, this is my gift of love that I am giving back to God in appreciation for my gift of life. And then find some place that fills your heart up that you want to give it to. The key is that it needs to be no strings attached. In other words, you're not expecting anything in return from this gift. It's not like you're just purchasing something or paying bills with it. This needs to be over and above what we are spending to sustain our physical bodies. Because if all we're doing, which is what is often happening, if all we're doing is spending our money to pay for the things that God has already given us for free, like food and clothing and shelter and all of the things that were provided in the beginning, it's like not giving anything back at all, and we create a block there. It's a status quo. So what we need to do is to give it to whatever it is, as I said, that fills our heart up. And it can be there's civil rights, there's animal rights, there's environmental things, there's education, there's music, the arts, there's charities, there's needy families. There are really thousands of things out there that we could support financially. And what I encourage people to do is to move away from the fear and say, if I had $1 million and I could just spend whatever I wanted in the way of adding to the light of the world, what is it that I would want to support? And then decide on what that is and start tithing your money to that particular place. And once you tithe it, then you decree or claim the abundance back. We shouldn't have to do that because whatever we're sending out goes out and comes back to us. Except that what happens with money is instead of going out and expecting it, knowing it's going to come back to it, we send it out to pay our bills and to do the things that we need to do to spend money. And we say, oh no, now I don't have enough, or now it's gone, it's never coming back. And so we block that flow. So we need to start reprogramming our mind. So we say, this is my gift of love that I am giving back to God in appreciation for my gift of life. And I ask that it bless everyone on its path. And I accept that it's going to return to me for the highest good of all concerned.
Well, I would like to share something about tithing for me. You know, you were saying about the energy changes whenever you start talking about tithing.
Yes.
Because people get all scared, you know, like I don't have enough to pay my bills. If you don't have enough to pay your bills, you're in an emergency situation, and you better tithe. I mean, you better start with that. And for me, I had to start there. I had to start where I didn't have enough to pay my bills, and I just gave my tithe to God and let it fly. And I was very concerned about my credit.
Right.
You know, I looked back, Patty, and Jerry and I had read all the prosperity books and done all the prosperity classes about 35 years ago, and we had always lived in a champagne way. We always lived in a beautiful home. We went to five-star hotels. We traveled around the world. We stayed in yachts. We did all of those things, and we still struggled with money. And so a few years ago, I reread all of those books, and the only thing we hadn't consistently done was tithe 10%. I mean, we had given a lot, but we hadn't kept track of it, so it was just exactly right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I made a tithe book. And as soon as something came in, I would do the 10% right then. And I tell you, one time we got tested on it right away because my husband was in construction, and it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained, and no money was coming in, and we went on a vacation to Hawaii for Christmas. And when we left, all of our bills were paid, our tithes were paid, and we had 39 cents in the bank. And we were determined we were going to take this vacation because we hadn't had one in years. So we went on vacation. We came back. We had scheduled to have our house painted. We had our house painted. Jerry paid all of his guys because they didn't have any work. He found things for him to do around our house. And I had this $31,000 American Express bill coming on the 17th, and you know you have to pay the whole thing then. There was no sign of that money, and it was like the 14th, and so I said, okay, God, I'm going to tithe ahead. I'm going to tithe $3,100 on this $31,000, and I did it on the American Express card. And I said, I am tithing ahead. What are you going to do? And I tell you, Patty, all of that money was there. Jerry got to paid his guys, even though it was raining. Our house got painted. That was all paid for. And a number of other things. And it's just like magic. It's like once you say, I'm going to be just like gravity. I know I work for God. God is unlimited, and I will give my tithe no matter what. The universe takes you seriously. I haven't ever had to worry about money since then.
Well,
ever.
Right. It's a very important shift of attitude. Most people pay their bills and then try to tithe out of whatever is left. And, you know, if we really recognize the reality, I mean, if you thought with beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean, we talk about the money returning tenfold. There's no reason why we can't say, I accept that it's going to come back a hundredfold. You know, we don't have to limit ourselves, but the tenfold is fine. But if you say, if you give $100 away and then expect that you're going to somehow receive $1,000 back, as long as you're energizing and knowing that this is coming back, start paying attention to every single thing. You know, if somebody gives you something that you were going to have to buy, that's your tithing come back. If you were going out to lunch and somebody buys the luncheon and you thought you were going to buy the lunch, that's part of your tithing come back, coming back. If something's on sale that you need, start so that you're energizing that God is using infinite ways to bring this money back into your life. Sometimes what happens, and often what happens, is people give $100 away, and then they can't envision how God's going to get that back to them, so they block it by
figuring it out for God.
Right. They're thinking they're on a fixed income and they don't have any other source of income, but God is infinitely creative, and it'll come back in a myriad of different ways. So we need to consciously make those steps. But what I think is important for us too, my life and finances changed when I did the same thing that you did. When it really hit me, what we're talking about is giving God back for our gift of life. Why in the world should we put God last? And
yeah. When
we talk about tithing 10%, my gosh, we tip waiters and 20%, you know, in restaurants
yeah.
and things like that. So I started saying, well, I'm paying God first. And so whatever I brought in, I took 10% off the top and started tithing it. And it shifted my reality. Everything started shifting. And I am like you, I haven't had struggles and difficulty.
And I've had the money ahead of time that I used to be desperate about, like, what am I going to do when this comes due?
Right.
I've had money ahead of time.
That's wonderful. And we just need to start trusting. And this doesn't mean, you know, I'm not encouraging people to go out and spend a lot of money that they don't have, but I'm talking about consciously accepting that God is your supply, not outer world circumstances. And don't get caught up in what's happening, you know, because even in the midst of the financial crunches that are going on right now, there are people out there becoming richer than they've ever been in their lives, you know.
That's right. Be one of them.
Yes. Always be for the highest level of integrity, which some of that is not always happening right now. But for you, you know, there's no mocking natural law. So if we're getting our money from unethical means, and that's going to backfire. You know, there's a a statement that said a man spends the first 40 years of his life attaining his wealth and the next 40 years spending that money to regain his health. Well, that's true probably if it's been attained unethically, but it isn't true if you're working for the highest good and expanding your money for blessing of the planet and people and everything.
Well, I think it's most important that one of the most important ingredients for me of wealth is that I am free. I am free and choosing how I will spend my time. I'm not punching a clock. I'm not doing somebody else's rules. I'm really choosing to live by my guidance and giving my best gifts. And, you know, I quit my day job a long time ago. And I really encourage people to quit their day job and do what they're here on earth to do. And take the chances, you know, put your little butt out there squarely on the line.
Right. And sometimes, you know, that just feels too scary, you know, to just stop and not have anything to do. So I encourage people to begin doing what fills their heart up initially as a pastime, you know, to do something on the side. Because many people just have their lives on hold and they say, when I get this done or this done or this paid or this, my child raised or whatever, then I'm going to begin my spiritual path. We need to start doing that now, whatever it is that fills our heart up. And so to begin in whatever way you can to add to the light of the world and to fulfill your divine plan and why you're here. And everything will begin shifting. It is certainly not our divine plan to work from morning till night in tedious jobs just to put food on the table. This is the pattern that we have gotten ourselves into, but we have, because we have forgotten the infinite abundance of God, and we have forgotten that we are co-creating our own lives. And we buy into that victim consciousness of feeling like we are just the victims of circumstance, when in reality we're the creators of circumstance. If poverty is manifesting in our lives, it means that the energy, vibration, and consciousness that we are expending to live our lives, that we are energizing poverty consciousness more than we are prosperity consciousness. Because when we reach that critical mass where we're energizing more prosperity than poverty, nothing can stop prosperity from manifesting in our lives.
Ooh,
so
I
we
like
need
that.
To just keep on keeping on with prosperity consciousness and tithing and energizing what we want to create in our lives, and that's going to shift for us.
That's very good. You know what else is I encourage people to make a prosperity. I'm trying to think of the word. I'm just tongue-tied here. I'm sorry. An agreement with God where you say, this is what I will do, and this is what I want you to do.
Like a contract, you mean? Or?
Yeah. A success covenant.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's very important to make a success covenant and say, this is what I will do, this is how I will work for you, this is how I will be of service. And and one of the most important things to me is that everything that I do, all the steps of it, from thinking of it to putting it out into the world and to having other people help me with it, that it prospers everyone and everything it touches. It blesses everything and everyone it touches. In other words, I wouldn't do something that, oh, this is really good, except it kills all of these forest animals, you know?
Right.
So I think, do you want to talk about that some?
Well, the integrity within everything, and we don't always know exactly what the ramifications are or what the extended effects of things that we do. But if we continually have the divine intent that it always manifests in alignment with the highest good for all concerned, then our God selves and the universe will take care of how it manifests then, so that no one is harmed in that process. But that needs to be a genuine heart intent, and the universe will respond to that and do that. Right now, there's a lot of that dog-eat-dog consciousness. I mean, on CNN the other day, there was a man on, and I don't remember his name. I just think I deliberately...
I'm sorry, Patty. I couldn't hear you there for a couple minutes.
Okay. I said, you know, that it has to be the heart intent that we're working toward the highest good for all concerned. And right now, there's a lot of that dog-eat-dog consciousness. And there was a man on CNN the other day. I don't remember his name. I don't want to remember his name. I don't know what the name of his book is because I just totally wiped
out. Good. We don't want to give it a plug.
I don't want to give it a plug. But what he said was, he said that all that matters is being number one, and that everybody has to cheat, lie, and steal in order to be number one. And he has actually written this book to teach people how to cheat, lie, and steal in order to be number one. And he's saying it doesn't have to be illegal, but you have to lie, cheat, and steal in order to get to the top, and all that matters is being number one. Well, the news announcer was disputing that, and there was everybody was having a fit that he was saying that. I can't even imagine why they would have somebody like that on television putting that dribble out to the world, but they did. But that isn't an uncommon belief system in some of the corporate and greed and some of the things that are going on out there. But there is no mocking natural law, and what we're sending out goes out and expands and returns to us. And even though people may have a lot of money because they've cheated, they will have the ramifications coming back in various ways that will create lack and limitation in their life. And it may be lack of love, it may be lack of health, it may be lack of peace of mind. You know, there's no mocking natural law. And it's so simple to just add to whatever it is we're invoking to have it manifest for the highest good of all concerned. And then our God self in the universe will take care of that and handle that end of it.
Well, you know, with that consciousness, I always wonder, people that are doing those things, you know, where they another get something through, like some horrible additive to the gasoline or chemtrails or something like that, that they actually think, you know, their children aren't going to breathe that air.
Right. They're oblivious to the way the universe operates, and that's coming from a fear-based consciousness, the fragmented lower human ego consciousness that feels like we have to be in the dog-eat-dog world. But the reality is, of course, that all life is interrelated, interconnected, interdependent. We are all one, and you cannot harm one part of life without harming yourself and other facets of life as well. It's as though God, which is the reality of it, is this all-encompassing, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent force field of divine light. And everything that exists in the whole of creation is part of this force field of light. Is like every human being is a ray of light from that sun, from that radiant being. And every electron in any time frame or dimension throughout all creation is a cell in the body of God. And just like within our own body, we are kind of the microcosm of the universe, we can't harm any part of our own body without that having adverse effects on all the rest of our body. So this idea that we can go to war and kill people to make things better is ludicrous. And it is...
Durr!
It is an obsolete belief system that's based in that distorted consciousness. People that believe that it's okay to pollute and harm and rape and pillage the earth are coming from a consciousness of believing that the earth is an inanimate object for us to use and abuse as we will. But the truth is, the earth is a living, breathing organism, and she has a life-sustaining system within her that can be contaminated and damaged to the point of not being able to survive anymore. And we need to realize that, and we're in the process hopefully, of awakening to that so that we can do something about it. There are millions of wonderful people on this planet, billions of wonderful people that genuinely are striving every single day to work for the highest good for themselves and their families and the planet, but that have just slight distortions in their understanding because they've forgotten that they're beloved children of God and that all that God has is theirs. They believe in, they have accepted poverty consciousness as a reality instead of the self-fulfilled prophecy that it is. So we need to just shift that consciousness. And as we lift up, you know, the universal laws are, as I am lifted up, all life is lifted up with me. So one by one, as people begin to awaken and begin utilizing the true concept of tithing and accepting that they're giving their gift back to God and appreciation for their life, and they're expecting that gift to expand and return, and then they send more life force out, more money, more love, more service, whatever it is they're tithing. We can create the infinite financial freedom in our lives, and we can create abundance in love and abundance in relationships and security and harmony and in truth and whatever it is that we are sending out that we're trying to increase in our lives.
Hmm. You have such a wonderful way of explaining it, Patty.
Oh, thank you.
Tell people how they can reach you.
Well, I have a website. It's www.eraofpeace.org, and you can contact me through the website. There are legions of light that are assisting humanity now as never before, and these beings of light from the realms of truth are coming through every conceivable open door. And I have a lot of articles and information on the website from the beings of light guiding us through these wondrous times. And I also have a free monthly email article that I send out for people that contain information of what the beings of light are telling us at this time. If you're interested, you can also sign up for that on our website.
Also, Patty, you're doing free workshops around the world.
Yes, I do free seminars. I feel that it is such a critical time, and my initial search, I think like everybody else's, was a personal quest. And when I started receiving the information and tapping into this realm of truth, I realized that what's being shared with humanity now is life transforming. I didn't want anyone to not ever have access to it because of a financial obligation. So my friends and I have just dedicated our hearts to making this information available to whoever's interested. And so we have a schedule on our website of where the free seminars will be. I share the information freely on the radio show and then through this monthly email article. So it's available in a lot of different ways. And this is all part of the joy of my service, but it's also a way of tithing that we can all do. You know, tithing doesn't have to be this struggle or this sacrifice where we feel that we're giving something away and then we're not going to have enough. Quite the contrary. You know, the free seminars are expensive to do that. And when we do that, I mean, we've never had to cancel a seminar because we schedule them for a whole year in advance. We've never had to cancel them, or we've never not had enough money to pay the bills or to do what we needed to do to provide this information freely to humanity.
And you have them in nice hotels, too.
Yes, we try to meet in hotels. We almost always meet in hotels because we didn't want people to feel it was associated with a particular organization or anything. The information has a spiritual base, but it is totally non-denominational. And what we are talking about is connecting with the divinity within us, with all of the legions of light that are assisting us, and moving toward reaching our highest potential.
Patty, I thank you so much for doing that. What else do you want to report cosmically while you're here?
Well, this is a very important time, and 2008 is a time of new beginnings. 2007, numerically, you take the numbers, the 2 and the 7, and you add them together, which is a 9. And 9 is the number of completion. And for 2008, you take them and add them together, and it's a 10. But unless it's a master number, like 11 or 22 or 33, the double numbers, you reduce it down to a single digit. So a 10 is the same as a 1, and a 1 is the number of new beginnings. And throughout 2007, I think almost everybody that I certainly have contact with and communicate with has experienced a lot of completion and letting go and things ending that maybe they didn't expect to end or didn't even want to end. But this year is a time of new beginnings, to take all that we've learned, everything that we know and understand, and to create a new joy-filled life for ourselves. And so we have a lot of support and a lot of assistance from on high to help us do that. This is a really important time for creating the vision of what we want to manifest in our lives and then going for it, just putting forth the energy to begin bringing it tangibly into our lives.
Thank you, Patty. Share something about your books. I want people to know about your books.
Okay, the books are information. What I consider myself is just a scribe, that, and the beings of light have this wonderful wealth of knowledge from the higher realms that is available to all of us. We were never supposed to lose the ability to tap into this information, and it is communicated into this realm through open heart and mind telepathic communication. And the beings of light asked a long time ago, about 35 years ago, if I would be willing to just transcribe this information and to make it available. And I make it available for through all the avenues that I've mentioned to you for free, but it's also available in books and on CDs and DVDs so that people can have it in a tangible way. And the reason for that, we have everything we need within us. The truth is, nobody needs another book or another CD or another DVD. But the reason the beings of light asked me to do this, and it's certainly happening all over the world, there's wonderful books being written everywhere, they're sharing information from on high, is that the beings of light said we would come to this point in time, which is this time that we're in right now, when things would be very difficult and outer world challenges would be difficult and make it appear as though things are getting worse. And instead of buying into the chaos and the confusion and the negativity, what we need to do is focus on the light. Excuse me, just a moment. Focus on the light and try our best to create the vision of what it is we want rather than the fears of what we don't want. And so they wanted people to know the incredible activities of life that have taken place over the last few decades and the divine intervention that is happening, because it's impossible to read about the incredible light that's pouring into this planet and the assistance we're being receiving, the activities of light, and feel hopeless or feel despair or feel abandoned, because it's just not true. What's happening now, in fact, quite the contrary, is that the light of God is flowing into the planet as never before. And as it enters into every atomic and subatomic particle and wave of life, it pushes everything that conflicts with that light to the surface. Since all life is interrelated, and since we are creating this reality here through our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings, we can't just say cancel, cancel, and eliminate the past. So the core of purity of
What was that last thing you said about canceling the past?
We can't just say cancel, cancel. You know, what we have to do is take the energy we've misqualified and love it back into its original perfection, to love that light free. So the energy is coming up. It's being pushed to the surface. And so we're seeing things in the outer world. This is the time that biblically was referred to as the time of screaming and the gnashing of teeth, because as the negativity comes up, we see the negativity very easily. What we don't see as easily is the incredible light that's pushing it to the surface. So,
well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I've had difficulty myself just sort of processing all of the stuff that's coming to the surface. And so, you know, like, it's like, oh, God, there's another nasty thing. Jeez, man, I was better off when I didn't know about this. And there's this part that sort of resists that, you know.
Sure.
And so I've started using the violet flame in this way, I say, through the presence that I am, everything I touch and become aware of is charged with the violet transmuting flame and transmutes itself into an asset for the benefit, happiness, and upliftment of all life everywhere forever. And that's sort of my way of calling the legions of light into that condition and also taking it off my shoulders, because it's sort of hard, you know, it's a lot of responsibility to become aware of all these things, don't you think?
Yes, I think there's a lot of painful things going on, and if we didn't see the bigger picture, that's exactly the purpose. When you talk about the books and the CDs and things, that's exactly what the spiritual hierarchy said, so that when humanity feels this place of being overwhelmed by what they're observing in the outer world, for them to be able to see the bigger picture of what is really occurring. And what's happening is that no matter how much we've distorted energy, no matter how much we've taken, for instance, the infinite abundance of God and distorted it into a gross mutation of poverty, that is a human miscreation. That doesn't have anything to do with God.
Or reality.
Right. We have created the poverty, the disease, the lack, the limitation, all of the things that are less than God's perfection. God doesn't create discord and negativity. Those are human miscreations. So when the light enters, for instance, into no matter how heavy the poverty is, when the light enters the core of purity and that substance, that electronic light that's forming as poverty in our lives, it activates the infinite abundance of God, and that casts off the frequency of poverty. And it comes up to the surface, and it manifests in our lives as lack and limitation. So then if we ask the violet flame, which is the most powerful tool now, and what the violet flame is, it is the perfect balance of the divine masculine frequency of God's will and power and the divine feminine frequency of our Mother God's divine love. The sapphire blue ray of power and will of our Father God and the crystalline pink ray of our Mother God of divine love and reverence for life. And when those are blended perfectly, it makes the violet flame, which then vibrates with the frequencies of mercy and compassion, transmutation, freedom. And so as this negativity comes up, if we ask God to flood it with the violet flame actually raises the vibration and begins spinning that energy that's vibrating at a discordant frequency of poverty, it spins it back into the light again, and it becomes prosperity energy again. This is true whether we're talking about disease, whether we're talking about war, returning it to the frequencies of love and peace, whether we're talking about truth and integrity. Everything that's manifesting that's less than God's perfection is a human miscreation. And it's coming up now because the light of God is increasing. It's pushing all this garbage to the surface. And what we need to do is invoke the violet flame to transmute it back into light.
Well, Patty, I've asked everyone that works with the violet flame to invoke it however they invoke it. And so I'd like to ask you to do that now. And I'd like everyone to just put on the altar everything that's been obstructing you in any way from being totally happy, prosperous, healthy, wealthy, and fulfilled.
All right. I'm going to say I'd love to do that, Iris. And because we're all one, we have the ability to serve as surrogates on behalf of humanity. So all of us that are participating in this program today, let's invoke the mighty I Am presence of every man, woman, and child on the planet. And I'm going to state this invocation in the first person so that we can each experience it personally.
Okay.
But know that as it is happening for us, it is simultaneously through the God self of each person being projected into every person's life experience.
Well, I'd also like to call the I Am presence of every life form. The God energy in animals and every species and the mineral, plant, animal, Devic, all of the kingdoms in, upon, and above the earth, and then out into all life. So all planets and all galaxies and all universes everywhere is what what I'm asking for and you're asking for, and we really want all life to be released from everything that isn't the joy of God.
Absolutely.
So that is the spirit in which we're calling for the violet flame. So when you're ready, go.
In the name of the Almighty Presence of God, I am blazing in my heart and in the human hearts of all life on this planet. We invoke the divinity of every life form throughout the whole of creation, the highest divine perfection of every particle of life that has been breathed forth from the heart of God. Within this powerful force field, as one breath, one heartbeat, one voice, one energy, vibration, and consciousness of pure divine love, we invoke now the legions of the violet flame throughout infinity. Blessed ones, through our unified heart call, we ask that the light of 1,000 suns blaze in through and around every electron, every atomic and subatomic particle and wave of life in the whole of creation. Blaze and expand this infinite violet flame, the maximum that cosmic law will allow. We ask that every electron of precious life energy that has ever been misqualified by us or any part of life in any time frame or dimension, both known and unknown, be transmuted now by the violet flame. Transmute this gift of life, cause, core, effect, record, and memory until it is returned to its original divine perfection. We accept that this call is being invoked this day, but we ask that this divine light be secured through the divinity in our heart to increase daily and hourly, moment by moment, with every breath we take, until this planet, this universe, and all creation is wholly ascended and free. We accept this done, even as we call, through the power of God, I am.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Woo-hoo! That was good, Miss Patty.
Thank you.
We have 5 minutes. What would you like to give in that 5 minutes, Patty?
Well, I just want to reassure people that this is a unique moment on this planet, and contrary to outer appearances, the Company of Heaven has assured us that we are succeeding far beyond the greatest expectations of heaven. And even though we see things taking place in the outer world and it looks ominous,
like shit, actually. Sorry.
The people that are creating the chaos in the outer world are a minuscule fraction of the 6.5 billion souls that evolve on this planet. And every single day, there are billions of souls that turn their attention to God and invoke God's assistance and the light of God into their lives in one way or another, for themselves, for their families, for their loved ones, for humanity and the planet. And those prayers are always heard, and they are being answered. And the legions of light throughout infinity, literally suns beyond suns and galaxies beyond galaxies, are projecting their light and love to this planet during this unique time on planet Earth. And our victory is assured. So keep on keeping on, don't give up, and stay focused on what it is you want to manifest in your life, not the fears of what you don't want.
Well, also, I think that everyone has to be assured that everything they're doing does matter and does make a difference. It does matter that we call for help every day. It matters that we call on the legions of light. It matters that we invoke the light of God into every condition. It matters that we ask for a divine solution for every problem. It really matters. And because we don't see it at first, is not to be discouraged.
I think that's really important too, Iris. And we've heard things like ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be open. But we need to really grasp the reality and the truth that not even our Father, Mother, God will interfere with our gift of free will. So in order for this infinite assistance from on high to be tangibly manifest in our lives, we need to ask for that assistance, and we need to invoke that assistance. But once we do, with the pure intent of our heart to add to the light of the world, the floodgates of heaven open, and we receive more assistance than we could possibly even comprehend.
Patty, thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Well, you're sure welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for sharing your light. Thank you for all the ways that you give and expand the love and light on the in the universe. And I am so grateful to know you and receive the benefit of all that you do. And I just really thank God for you. And I hope you'll come back. And I want you to tell people how to reach you once more.
Okay, it's www.eraofpeace, E-R-A-O-F-P-E-A-C-E, eraofpeace.org. And thank you, Iris, too. We are all so blessed to do this work. And no one's part of the work is any more important than anyone else's. We all have a critical part of this divine plan.
Yep. And just like a troop of good little brownies, we go forward, don't we?
We sure do.
God bless you, Patty.
Well, God bless you, Iris.
Thank you. And God bless you, and thank you for listening. And we'll be back Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then, happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, women, children, and yee-haw!